Welcome to the End Podcast. It's about you. This is your host, Caitlin DeBeer. I'm a life coach, speaker, psychology lecturer, and a mum of two littles. And I'm here to inspire you with self-management tips, secrets, interviews, and tricks around loving yourself, loving your life, yep, even the mums, and ultimately to motivate you to want to wake up every morning and live your beautiful life. Over to today's episode. Cool, guys. I feel like flustered just coming into this, but I shouldn't because it's such a cool topic. I think it's just been one of those days. But yes, but this kind of topic will make me like get hot and blush, but let's do it. So first of all, hello friends, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And I'm glad that you're feeling flustered. It just means that you're curious, but you're nervous, and it's just a conversation that needs to be had. So that's a good sign.
Right. And I think putting the aircon on would probably help too, but we're going to roll with it. Cool. You want to start just by introducing yourself to my audience, please?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So my name is Candice Jane Langford. I'm a physiotherapist with a very special interest in pelvic health and wellness. And I started a Instagram page called Nurture Your Vagina when I started to realize how poor our education was in and around pelvic health. And yeah, I created this page with an intention to empower women through education, and just because I was so excited to share as much as I possibly could, where as I'm learning along the way and exposing myself to different fields in the pelvic health world. Yeah.
Sure. Amazing. I love it. I mean, just that word, like, it gets me like so uncomfortable. Nurture your vagina. I mean, it's something about love. I'm like, oh, how did you start a page like that? Like, how did they not close you? but that's so good. It's so good. So yeah, first of all, tell us more in terms of being or having an interest, I suppose, more so in women's health physio. Tell us a bit about that.
Sure. So as pelvic floor physiotherapists and in the field of pelvic health, we typically treat anyone with a pelvis with pelvic floor dysfunction. So that's men and women and everyone in between. And we are treating women and men in various life stages, kind of relating from puberty through pregnancy, through your childbearing years, through perimenopause and your transition into postmenopause, and the symptoms that may come up along the way with the different things that your pelvis may be exposed to. And that might relate to pain during sex, constipation, incontinence, prolapse, returning to exercise postpartum, rectus diastasis, pelvic pain, etc. And we do this by holistically assessing you as a whole. And I touched on this with you a little bit before in our previous conversation, and trying to make links and really determine what exactly may be contributing to your pain experience or the dysfunction that you're experiencing. So like I've explained, it might be that you are clenching your jaw, which is giving you headaches. So you might come to me with a headache, and we may kind of link that down into you not taking deep lateral breaths, and you may also have a really tight abdominal wall, and that may also relate to a really tight pelvic floor. So it's often a link where people that come to me with headaches and jaw pain may also have symptoms such as pain during sex because they've also got a really tight pelvic floor. So we try, and I hope you can kind of see, like, I'm trying to, we assess things holistically and try and link symptoms back into the pelvic floor and see how we can comprehensively treat whatever symptoms it is that you may have. So we may do this by external treatments of your hip, your coccyx, your lower back, your jaw. But we would also do this through an internal vaginal exam and treatment, so where we treat the pelvic floor internally and assess the pelvic floor internally. So yeah, that pretty much kind of sums up what happens in a pelvic floor physiotherapy session. And then on top of that, like I said earlier, I've got the Nurture Your Vagina Instagram page, where I try to share content to empower and educate women and expose taboo topics and create conversations around awkward topics like we're doing today for you. And yeah, I just try to break down barriers to improve conversation and just, you know, make women and men more comfortable in their bodies and just create a narrative where we might, you know, just accelerate education and accelerate your experience as a woman or the journey that you're going through by just being fully aware. Yeah, I suppose that sums it up.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I mean, before we go into more of today's topic, I just, as you know, I've like grown to love this whole conversation of just, yeah, accepting your body for what it is, like as a female. And I think in our generation, especially, and the generations before, we were just never taught that. We weren't allowed to have these conversations.
No.
You weren't allowed to acknowledge that you bloody have a, I want to say fanny, I'll use the real word, vagina.
you can say fanny, it's okay.
but yeah, it's been an incredible journey for me personally. And I think that's why I keep on getting women's health physios on here. It's not that I am one. Brilliant. It's actually just because I've fallen in love with this industry that just sets us free in so many beautiful ways. And yeah, just that whole stomach thing, as I was saying to you before, I've had such breakthrough in terms of my pelvic pain that I've been experiencing. And I'd gone into the chronic stage of pelvic pain, and yet just by like acknowledging that, like, you're allowed to push out your tummy during the day, although it's not pushing out.
Let it go.
Yeah, how amazing. Like every person that I see, I'm like, you don't have to put in your tummy. Like, you can push it out. You know? They're like,
exactly.
I'm like, no, push out more. Like, that's what they told me. But it's incredible. It's really been such a beautiful journey for me. And I was just saying to my husband actually last night that, like, I feel as if, like, even now when I first got told that, like, let go of your tummy muscles, which I've just like lived my whole life with lines across my tummy because I hold it so tight, literally my whole life. And at first I was like, so like horrified that I did my tummy out. Now, like, I'm happy. I'm 3 weeks in and I'm happy to like wear a dress that's like tightish and push my not push it out, just let it go.
Yeah, and just really let it go. Shift
in my head to just be like, but that's how it's supposed to look. And I don't know, I'm not sore when I do that. How amazing.
Yeah. When you start making the link between the one and the other and you realize, oh my word, you know, I've been missing out on this.
I know.
This relaxed tummy.
Pain-free, lovely life. Yeah. No headaches, no pelvic pain. Yeah. The list goes on.
But, oh, yay.
Yeah. How cool. So, yeah. I mean, in terms of today, Cans, I think what I'm excited about and why I love following you is because it's so against the grain, and not, I suppose, as much anymore, but still very much in my mind, because I'm so like private and don't like talking about taboo kind of topics. And yet you do it so openly, and it set me free in so many ways, just reading stuff and being open to, even just like in your own private life. It's not like I have to start posting on it, although I probably have gone there in some way. But it's just breaking the rules instead of being so, I don't know, lightly on these topics.
It's rules that shouldn't be there anyway.
Yes, I know. And like before kids, I think I was like the extreme of like, I don't know, play by the rules, don't talk about it, whatever. I've since had two vaginal births. That changes things. Yes. you feel like you, I don't know, not hiding as much, but I still do get awkward about it. But let's do it. So, today we're talking periods, and oh my word, this is something that I'm really keen to hear your views on. Obviously, I've followed you for a while, and I've seen so many posts come up, and it's why I've asked you on this specific topic. First of all, tell us. I mean, why go into this industry? Like, why is it that you've named your flipping Instagram brand Nurture Your Vagina?
First of all, I must post a little disclaimer here. It's not all vaginas. It's and you know what, there are, and I've got to say a little statement here for all the men and all the boys out there that may also have a vagina, and you know, the intersex population who may experience menstrual cycles and who may experience period pain. I feel I'm trying to be as accommodating as I possibly can, as I'm learning along the way of how to appropriately and effectively address a community that was also taboo previously. So so nurture your vagina. It's not just vagina. That is just kind of a statement to really grasp your attention and kind of encompass, you know, it's nurture your pelvic health, let's say, rather, but nurture your vagina is a lot more fun, I would say. As a title, definitely captures some people's attention and gets some conversations going. But yeah, let me get into it nonetheless. So vulva, vaginas, menstrual cycles, your pelvic floor, you know, they all really form an integral role in our lives, you know, from puberty through pregnancy, our childbearing years, through perimenopause and our transition into postmenopause. You know, I started this page to really bring our attention to how important this part of our body is and how it can influence all these different phases of our lives, and how education around these topics will only empower and, you know, just brighten it all up, make it that much more exciting and make it less nerve-wracking and fearful. So that's just one reason as to why I wanted to kind of shine a light on these topics and vaginas in general. Then, like I've said to you before, you know, there's such a gap in our education. We're so well informed and so in tune with what we put in our mouth and what we like to put in our faces and what type of exercise we do, yet we are in the dark when it comes to anything regarding our pelvic health or our womanhood or our feminine journey. There's loads of ways that it's been kind of termed, but we are afraid to talk about it, and we feel shameful to talk about it, and we just don't know. We don't know what we don't know. So how are we ever supposed to kind of converse or seek help about these things if we really just don't know? So it's also, I've started this also because of this gap, this gaping hole in our information and our intellect and around our pelvic health. And you know, sometimes it's education alone. It's just knowing and understanding whatever it is that's going on in your body that leads to resolution, complete resolution of symptoms. I've spoken to numerous women just over Instagram and just kind of just divulge a little bit of information about what it is that's going on. And I get feedback from them, you know, a week later, and they say, oh my gosh, you know, thank you for telling me that, because it's been like mind blowing. You know, it's changed the way I view myself. It's changed the way I've experienced my symptoms, and you know, those symptoms may be gone, or someone's just read a post and it's changed their experience. So it may just be education alone, which just goes to show how empowering education can be and how impactful appropriate education can be. Mm-hmm. And it might just be this education that just gives you that little extra push. You know, if you didn't know that leaking postpartum was a problem, then why would you ever seek help for it? Why would you go and ask questions about it? So that also just allows, it creates that kind of platform for you to say, okay, this is clearly something that I need to seek help for, and go and take those steps to resolve whatever symptoms it is that you may be experiencing. And then, yeah, also nurture your vagina, because I suppose that's what many pelvic floor physios are trying to do. And I wanted to try and use this platform to expose and improve awareness in and around pelvic health and pelvic floor physios, and just, you know, let people know that there's conservative management out there, that it's, you know, it doesn't have to be this, you know, taking medication. It may not be a scary operation that you've been kind of avoiding. It might just be that you need 3 sessions. Like you said, you've gone for pelvic floor physio twice, and you are, you know, experiencing pain-free days. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're kind of feeling like, oh my word, I wish I had known about this years ago.
I wish, yeah, I'd taken action years ago.
Yeah, you see. Yeah. So that's also why, the more conversations that I'm able to create through this Instagram page, the more women are going to be at the point where you are now, where you're kind of like, okay, I'm doing it, I'm going to give that person a call, and I'm just going to go. It's just my final point would be that, you know, I felt so drawn to create a platform for education, because it just is not right. It doesn't sit right with me. It when you think about it too much, it actually makes me feel a little bit sick of the fact that, you know, this beautifully complex but magical part of our body is considered taboo. It just
I mean, how did we get to this point? Mm. And it just, I just have to talk about it. I have to talk about, you know, labia and pelvic floors and cervical fluid and yeah. clitoris. And I have to speak about these things because we just cannot for any longer in our lives consider these things taboo. Just shouldn't be for us and for the future generations. It just, something's got to change. Mm. It really does.
Yeah. I'm so grateful for people like you because I sure as hell would not be exploring topics like this had someone else not gone there. So thank
you. Someone's got to do it.
Different personalities. Yeah, but I love that, and I love everything you've said. If we talk specifically, I mean, the whole idea of like entering womanhood, and I know just how things have shifted in the last generation age-wise, and, you know, how much younger people are getting periods, and just that whole topic. Yeah, I mean, talk us through in terms of like the gap in our education when it comes to entering womanhood. What are your thoughts there?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, there's so many. Yeah. There's so many. So, like I mentioned just previously, we're so in tune with the specific type of nutrients we like to put in our body. You know, we've got specific supplements. We've got specific type of exercise that we are aware that we enjoy, and you know, it might be a specific face product, and then amongst the millions that are available to us, that we know, oh, this is exactly what I need, and this is what works for me, and this is what makes me feel good. But when it comes to our vulvas and our vaginas and our pelvis, you know, we are so disconnected from the area that we have no idea what works for us. We have no idea, you know, what we like. We have no idea what symptoms may mean. And this relates to a few things, and you know, just to touch on the topic of sex and sexuality, is that there's this pleasure gap, you know, where just on the topic of sex and the gap in our education is that, you know, external clitoral stimulation is what women need in order to reach orgasm. Yet when we talk about sex and sexuality, it's the male orgasm that's prioritized. It's penetrative sex that's seen as the word sex. When you hear sex, you think penetrative intercourse. Whereas why is external stimulation not favored and prioritized and considered important and considered sex? Then there's virginity, another social construct that results in shaming and eliciting fear and anxiety in women. And this is where I feel our education, you know, it's really lacking, and relating to sex as well as into our menstrual cycles, because when we don't know or don't understand sex and sexuality, not only is it stopping us from exploring what our symptoms may be, our period pain, our you know, kind of a feeling of, oh, I want to explore my body, it feels good when I touch myself like this, you know, it's not only stopping us from exploring those things and identifying our own unique sexuality, but it's also stopping young women and older young girls and older women from reporting traumatic events. Mm-hmm. From, you know, because now we've from a young age, you might have been told, you don't call it your vulva, you don't call it your vagina, that's your flower. And there's nothing wrong with calling it your flower, but the problem is that, you know, if that young woman knows nothing other than the word flower for her vulva, when she thinks about it, or if something were to happen, she's going to think, oh my word, but I've always only called it my flower. It's obviously something that I'm not really allowed to talk about. It's something that's shameful. And this makes me fearful. So I'm not gonna ask questions. I'm not gonna tell my mom that this happened. I'm not going to, you know, when it comes to periods, there are numerous stories out there of young women who have started their periods and have thought that they're dying. Mm-hmm. And have decided to just lie there, you know, and kind of just wait for the end to come because they're bleeding out their vaginas and they didn't know any better. So what I'm trying to say is that this gap, it creates so many barriers, and it's a gap that relates to our menstrual knowledge, a gap that relates to our sexual knowledge, a gap that relates to, you know, just knowing what to call a vulva, or being confident enough to say, this person did that to me, and I know that it's wrong because I've been told that it's wrong, and I'm confident enough to talk about it because I've been educated comprehensively.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, just in terms of the names and what you just said. So I did a podcast episode last year with Christy from The Chat. I don't know if you've heard of Christy, that she's written this book, The Chat, about having, you know, the conversation with your kids.
Yes, I've heard of it, but I don't follow her, I must.
Oh, she's so cool. But she challenged me on this as well and said, you know, I said, like, surely my kids are too young to, like, know the real words and whatever. So she said, you know, this is one of the ways that you bring it in. You open up this conversation to talking about birds and bees. I mean, she's phenomenal. But the one thing she said was, from this age, you know, call it her fanny, but mention the word vagina as well. And so that night, and I mean, how, like, I don't know, two topic is this, but I told Sarah, my daughter, I said, like, very embarrassed. I mean, how mature am I at age 30? But I said, says, so that's the real name for your fanny is vagina. And she was like, oh, okay, what's the real name for my hands?
How hectic. Yes, you see.
I know.
You see. So we call it nose and nose, we call it mouth and mouth, and then it comes to, like, our vagina, our vulva, and we call it a pancake, a scone, whatever, you know. And
straight. Like, well, what's this one? Like, as if, like, this was a fun game that when you hit age four, we now talk about the real name. And mom's
That's such a powerful experience. I mean, just your, I mean, do you mind if I actually use that?
No, go wild. Don't say Sarah, but go wild.
Because it's, Oh, sure. That's amazing. Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just goes to show how powerful this gap can be in, you know, in our awareness of our bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, a lot of my listeners are moms and are in this sort of similar stage of life to what I'm in. And for me, I think one of the big things that I'm just so desperately hoping, and I suppose this channel, as much as it benefits everyone else, it benefits me too, because I also get hold of cool information that I don't know if you listen to later. But I would love to just, I suppose, hear from you and just, like, really practically try and understand, how do we break the stigma for our daughters on entering womanhood, periods, you know, them being gross. I mean, I was fully part of that generation that saw it in that way. And I wish I never had, because it's taken me a very long time and still is taking me a long time to be okay with this. So how do we break this for our daughters? I mean, give us some practical advice if you can.
So I would start off with saying, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't know and understand your menstrual cycle and what that means and what's exactly happening in your body, then how are you supposed to divulge this information, you know, effectively to a young girl and describe it in a way that they're going to, you know, feel confident in? So I always say to people, you know, you need to educate yourself first. Make sure that you have all your questions answered. Make sure that you understand the importance of your menstrual cycle. You know, the American College of Gynecology is considering menstrual cycles as the fifth vital sign. So they see it as just as important as your blood pressure, your heart rate, your saturation levels. It's an important piece of information, and it needs to be prioritized just as much as you would prioritize your heart rate, you know. And once you as a mum are feeling kind of confident and educated and ask questions and gone to seek help for concerns of your own, then you will feel as though you can openly have these conversations. And just like you have mentioned, when it comes to sex and sexuality and speaking openly with children after you had the chat episode on the podcast, the same goes for menstrual cycles. And from a young age, being informing young children about anatomically correct terms, and making sure that your daughter knows what a menstrual cycle is, you know, and making sure that she knows that you are available and willing to have a conversation, and that when she asks you something, that it's out of fear on your side that she is not getting brushed off. Because it's very easy to kind of say, oh, I'll tell you when you're older, you know, which is something that I'm sure we all heard when we're young, when we're younger, you know, you see tampons lying around, you see a pad lying around, and you're just like, oh, wait until you're older, when then you'll understand one day. But if someone is, if a young girl is asking questions now, she needs to be informed now because she's curious, and curiosity is the key for change. It's something that just tells us that we are willing to know, we are willing to explore, and that curiosity is what needs to be prioritized. So when it comes to kind of starting the conversation, I think it definitely, it varies from child to child as to when they're kind of ready, but you need to be able to pick up on cues. You know, they, your daughter might look at you in a different way. You might see that she's like looking through your purse and looking at a tampon or picking it up, or, you know, paying a little bit more attention to menstrual health adverts on the television. And when you pick up these cues, then that's when you need to start introducing conversation and introducing topics that she might then kind of feel confident to dig a little bit further. One of the ideas that I've been given in the past is to make sure that you've got a bookshelf that's kind of full of books that are appropriate for young children exploring these different topics, and about menstrual cycles, about sex and sexuality. I'm sure you've covered that before. And when you see that book has been touched or moved, that is your cue. You go, you know, you go and you have that conversation, ask questions, make sure that your daughter's ready for that conversation. And I also think little boys too, you know, making sure that that they understand. When you've got your period, you don't kind of say like, don't ask me. You can say, I'm going to the bathroom now. Mommy started her period. Oh, what does that mean? I'll tell you now. Just let me go to the bathroom first. But just being creating that open narrative and being willing to discuss things. And when before a girl's first period starts, I think it is so important to take a tampon, take it out of its cover, show her, pull on the string, show her how to insert it, show her how to put her leg up on the bath to insert it. You know, take a pad, put it in her panties, teach her how to unwrap it. Because there are many girls out there that are going into their first period. I did an Instagram series about periods and first experiences. And I had so many inboxes about young girls that kind of just took the pad out of the package, the plastic packaging, and put it straight into their panties. Didn't unwrap it, didn't stick it to their panties, put the sticky part the wrong way around. You know, if no one's showing you, how are you supposed to know? So I think that's something that really does need to be covered. Like, these are what your symptoms are going to be, and that this is what it means. And if you feel these symptoms, then you might want to just make sure that you've got, you know, extra pair of panties in your bag at school. Have a little bag that you've got prepared that's got pads, that's got a change of clothing for them at school. Just the tools to make them more confident and comfortable and aware of the situation. If young girls are aware of the tracking apps that are available, and they know and start to understand their cycle, because, you know, our menstrual cycle isn't just 5 to 7 days of the month. We are constantly within our menstrual cycle, and that's a mistake that's very commonly made. If you understand, okay, I'm in my luteal phase, I'm on this day, okay, this is when I'm ovulating, okay, you know, my follicular phase, wherever you may be in your cycle, I said those things the wrong way around, wherever you may be in your menstrual cycle, you're aware of it, and that is only, that's what's going to make you prepared for when your menstrual bleed comes. And you may know, because mum said, okay, oh, I'm here in my menstrual app, and oh, I've got a little bit of tummy pain, and oh, I'm feeling a little bit moody, you know, I'm just feeling a bit irritable, and I'm not sleeping so nicely. That's okay. It's not the end of the world. It's because I'm in the last week of my luteal phase, and my period's probably coming, and that means I must be more prepared, and I must just be gentle with myself, and I must be understanding. And if I'm concerned, then I'll speak to mum, and, you know, she can just relate with me and kind of say, yes, my daughter, I also feel like that at this time of my menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. And then I think another important point would be to acknowledge the fact that you should be seeing your period as a period report card. So what is said is that every menstrual cycle around your period, you should take the symptoms that you're experiencing, and let's say you are more moody this month, or you are more uncomfortable, or you are bleeding a little bit heavier, or your cramps are just unbearable. You take that information and you look into it. So you look back on that month and you say, oh my gosh, okay, So this month I was on antibiotics. Of course, that has thrown off my gut flora, and of course my experience is going to be different. Or this month I was really, really stressed, and that is going to kind of follow through and affect my menstrual experience. So that's okay. Next month I need to make X, Y, and Z changes. I need to manage my stress. I need to exercise more, etc. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's amazing. I feel like such a fraud listening. No, it's so good.
No.
I'm just being so far from that my whole life. I started my period at boarding school quite late. I remember the girls waiting outside the cubicle to see if I was going to be okay, handing me things and trying to teach me, which I hate that idea. Yeah. Now I'm my daughter will never go to boarding school. But I love boarding school. But I just... for me, it was just such a hard one. I was so sporty and so competitive. And I thought a period was the worst thing that could ever happen to a sporty person. And so you should do whatever you could to avoid it. And I was never regular, and there was just so much, just shame and ugly stuff. And it definitely wasn't my mum's fault, because my mum's actually really, a really open person and would talk about anything, which I'm so lucky about. I think I was just so ashamed and so private about these things. I always have been, and very embarrassed. And I'll never forget a girl coming through at school. I mean, I remember it, I can't remember one assembly, I think, of the whole school, apart from being announced the head girl kind of thing. And apart from that, I remember the one assembly when one of the girls stood up and she'd bled onto her dress. And that was my biggest fear of all time.
Yeah.
But I checked my
I think every school girl.
And how horrendous. I don't want my daughter to be raised like that. I want her to be that she knows her best friend would just be tap her on the shoulder, put a book behind her, they'd walk off and be oh, lucky we all girls. Kind of talk.
Yeah.
Not this is the biggest fear of my life. So hectic. So I love what you've said. I think such
it's a crazy realization, hey.
Such good stuff and stuff. I really hope that we can do better. For the future, and for the future us too, not just for our kids.
It relates to our own experiences as well, making sure that we are fully prepared and we are fully aware of the symptoms that we're having and what that means and how that relates to the rest of our lives. Like I said, being gentle on yourself and just being gentle with exercise and your end of the luteal phase, and being understanding and making sure that your partner is also, making sure that your husband or your boyfriend or your partner is aware that, you're at the end of your luteal phase. Of course, you're feeling a little bit, you're not sleeping well, you're not feeling great, and that's okay. I'm going to support you. I'm going to give you extra loves and cuddles at this time of the month. And, that's why I say it's not just women's education. It's women and men and, whoever. They really need to be as well informed about this as possible, because it affects quality of life for all.
Yeah. And it's not gross. I mean, that's such a big
no. thing.
It's not gross.
No.
We were given this. It's
a beautiful
thing. If you can't have it, it's a problem,
Yeah,
that's amazing. obviously we need to wrap up, but I've seen posts in terms of other other ways of doing periods at the moment, other things that we can get our hands on to help us through time. I don't even know what the word is. I don't have a period at the moment, but it would be cool. I did. And I'm sure people are interested just to rack your brain. So can you tell us, what is out there that we might have missed in terms of being our generation?
I would definitely say tracking apps are number one. I use an app called Flow. I love the way it works. Clue is also a very, very popular app, and there's been more and more people using the Apple app. I think there's one on the health app on your phone. You can kind of track where you are in the cycle and just become that much more aware of your symptoms and how your daily life affects your menstrual cycle, your menstrual bleed at the end of the month. That's super important, and it's really, really valuable information for when you do go to the doctor about any symptoms. You should your doctor should be asking, where are you in your menstrual cycle? Are you bleeding regularly? What are your symptoms like? This is a fifth vital sign. It's important information. So we need to record that. It's our responsibility to record it and to be aware about it. And then there's menstrual cups, which is something that I've been trying to get right for a while, and I finally did now. And menstrual cups are it's just a, it's a different form of menstrual hygiene products, and it is a hygienic. A lot of people think that it's, that is even more gross than tampons, but it's environmentally friendly. I mean, we use about 11,000-12,000 menstrual products through our lives, and we spend about 35,000 rand or something like that on menstrual products in our lives. And this is a great way to kind of take waste out of the landfills, and use menstrual cups. So, So some of the benefits of them is that your menstrual cramps are often less because the cup is more effective at catching menstrual fluid. You may experience less vaginal dryness because you don't have a super ultra absorbent piece of cotton in your vagina kind of soaking up all the moisture from your vaginal lining, and also being with it being eco-friendly, then you just have that kind of awareness that you're not impacting the environment. But it does take a bit of getting used to, but once you do have the knack of it, it's really, really great, because they say that you can leave it in for 12 hours, but I don't typically leave it in that long, maybe 6-8 hours. And I've put it to the proper test. This is how I made sure that this is the one for me. You know, I ran with it. I did a long walk with it. I swam with it. I slept in it. Awesome. I went to work with it. You know, I really made sure that this thing is functional for me, and it really did a great job. I didn't have to worry. There wasn't any leaking, but it does take some getting used to. It's a little bit hard to explain how to use it over a podcast, but that is a really great tool that hasn't really been available. Well, they've always been around, but they haven't really been as well advertised as they are right now. And then, yeah, there's also other environmentally friendly products like period panties and washable pads. And apparently there's also period-proof costumes available. But I think those are only in Australia. But, yeah, there's lots of cool little devices out there. But I would say number one is the awareness and tracking your period, your menstrual cycle, and kind of knowing where you are so you can live a fully informed life and pick up on any symptoms that may need to be taken care of or looked a little bit deeper into.
Yeah, I love all of that. I mean, it's like a further step almost in like self-care or self-love, like
100%.
It's just you, it's just like understanding you and accepting you and getting to know you and working from that space, which is such a beautiful way of doing life. So this has been so helpful. Thank you so much for your time, and
such a pleasure
to share.
Absolute pleasure.
Can you tell everyone where they can find you in person, online, all of those things?
Yeah, of course. Okay, so on Instagram, it's at Nurture Your Vagina, or lowercase, one word, no spaces. Then on, I've got a website, nurtureyourvagina.com, and on Facebook, it's Candice Jane Pelvic Physio, because Facebook doesn't like the word vagina, which just kind of goes into the entire conversation that we've just had. And then in person, I'm based at the Gateway Hospital Medical Center in the HG rooms in suite 401. And the contact details are on my Instagram page if you want to contact me there or book an appointment.
Amazing.
That's about it. That's where I am.
Stunning. Thank you so much.
Cool.
So appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Thank you.
This episode has ended, but guys, how stunning is Candice? And just so freeing to have people that are open to talk about things that many of us feel shame about or just won't go there. So yeah, hope you found this as inspiring as I have. And then I wanted to mention just quickly that I have decided to make my Thriving As Me, it's an audio self-love course. I've decided to make it free from now on going forward until I change my mind, but let's hope it doesn't. So that is now available when you sign up for my sort of newsletter or on my front page of my website homepage. When you sign up, you automatically get emailed that full audio course, which is 7 audios and a workbook. It's stunning, and I really did put work into it and just love it. And then you also get access to my free mummy guilt webinar, which is just on basically freedom from mummy guilt. So really cool 2 products. Go sign up on my website. I would love to give you access to those and just to bless you and to further this whole idea of just working towards self-love, self-acceptance, and loving ourselves wherever we're at in life and moving from that space. Cool. Happy week, everyone. We'll chat next Wednesday.